Do you like her?
No.
Nearly Beloved, we're gathered here today for a very special episode, a Degrassi-style after-school special of sorts. I'm Lucy May, I'm your MC for these proceedings. My amazing co-host Karen Pickering and I spoke with an icon of this season of MAFS for this episode, Ashley, who was one of Tash's beautiful bridesmaids and who famously was not taking any shit from Amanda towards her lovely friend. Ashley really pulled back the veil in this conversation to reveal the stinking mess that is MAFS behind the scenes. Karen and I really took a lot away from this conversation about reality TV and MAFS and what it means for the people on the show. We recorded this episode remotely for pandemic and location reasons. So we recorded on Wurundjeri, Wadawurrung and Arinda land. And the patron saint of this podcast remains until we see what happened on Batchy in Paradise, because that teaser trailer is wild. Kieran Stott of Angie's Bachelorette season. Let's get into it.
Tash will 100% hear everything that I have to say about Amanda.
We'd love to welcome noted bitch of Eastwick, true bridesmaid and amazing friend to Tash, Ashley Carla.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
So exciting.
We were really interested to have a chat with you, Ashley, because on the show, obviously, we personally had a strong reaction to seeing you and the journey you were forced along on the show. I think maybe that was for us one of the first times that we really interrogated with each other and ourselves a little bit of what might be going on behind the scenes with MAFS.
I was the person who called Ashley and her beautiful friend the bitches of Eastwick, and I was trying to be funny. The fact that it became really obvious afterwards that the only two people who were raising any questions about the match of Tash and Amanda were kind of demonized in the edit and given the villain edit. In our very next episode, we did roll that back. Those two are amazing. And when you reached out to us that you accepted our apology, like Mel, who was also gracious about us calling her a cereal box charlatan. And nobody is going to be better at showing us behind the curtain than you. So thanks so much for being with us.
No worries. And can I just say, the bitches of Eastwick made me laugh so hard. I love it. I thought it was hilarious because I don't necessarily think bitch is a derogatory term. So I kind of think it's quite empowering. And it was probably one of the nicest things we got called. So thanks for that.
The original witches of Eastwick were like rad bitches want to mess with. So when you were on the show, had you watched Married at First Sight before?
Yeah. Ironically enough, last year, Tash and I were living together. We were watching it and we were obsessed. So we watched it every night. We'd get in our trackies and drink red wine. And we would just love, I guess, theorizing about who everyone was and what was going to happen. And like, we loved it. Now, do I love it?
Amazing.
No.
So you're like Lucy, you're like a fan.
I was a hard fan. I would follow the stars on Instagram and I would follow the hashtags, and I loved it. Like, I don't think I was as intense as a lot of people I've found are about being fans of MAFS, but Tash and I definitely loved the narrative and we bought into it.
Have you watched the rest of this season, or did you just have enough once?
I watched all Tash's episodes I wanted to see how my friend was portrayed, because I was very proud of her for being on there, and I thought she conducted herself incredibly.
Yeah, she did.
I also wanted to see how it was shown on TV, because I spoke to Tash every day that she was in this experiment, so I knew as things were happening, and I wanted to see, I guess, how it came across. But after she left, I stopped watching, and I actually kind of switched off anything that was MAFS because I found it quite triggering afterwards. Both Rachel and I and Tash have stepped back a bit.
Yeah. How was your experience on the show?
Okay. So I remember Tash called me and she was like, I've got something to tell you. And I was like, what? What have you done now? Tell me, what do I have to bail you out of this time? And then she told me that she was going on MAFS, and I had to pull my car over because I was so surprised, because Tash doesn't go on Tinder. Like, she's not a huge serial dater. She's a romantic, and Tash gets approached by people. So I didn't think that this would be ever something that she would do. So Rach and I ended up being bridesmaids, and we had to sign the NDAs and speak to producers about what it was going to kind of entail. But they obviously leave that quite wide open. So they don't really give you much detail of how they're going to cut it and I guess what you're going into socially and how, kind of the impact it's going to have on your mental health. I don't really talk about anything like that. I guess because you're not going to be a recurrent character. So they think, no, it's okay. It's just like a drop in the ocean. Doesn't matter for you.
But it does even seem like even the contestants on the show are kind of hung out to dry as well.
Very
much
so. In
terms of like how the network tries to protect them or guarantee at least like a base level of aftercare.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said to us earlier that for example, like the wedding scene or the episode with Amanda and Tasha's wedding, which we saw as part of a 1.5 hour episode, you were on set for hours and hours and hours and hours.
It was actually like 12 hours. It was 12 hours of filming. Which was insane, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I think so much as well we filmed and wasn't shown, I guess, in preparation. So once we signed our lives away, we had to do a lot of wedding dress, like the filming when Tash was doing the wedding dress fittings. We had to sit at the table and pretend we didn't know that she was going on maths so they could tell us that she was going on maths, then react to camera and then do that 5 or 6 times. So it's just you actually forget what you're saying, what you've reacted to, what situations they've put you in because you've done it so many times. There's no way you could remember everything that happened.
So if that's how it was for you as like a smaller cameo role,
exactly.
What the hell is happening in the like little brain boxes of all the actual contestants? Like the hamster's on the wheel for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that more of them don't just drop their bundle completely.
It's quite scary. Like when you think about how intensive the process is and just the inauthenticness is just insane.
Tash is not the only person who participated in MAFS this year who feels as though she was really badly let down by the production and by the network. But can we talk to you about the wedding and the wedding episode? I wanted to set the scene by saying that when we watched it, we were absolutely spellbound. And I wanted
by the initial love in the air, you know, the initial chemistry and
the editing and the way that it was,
they both looked so beautiful. You looked so beautiful and Rachel looked, the hair, the makeup, Tasha's dad with that iconic single tear.
Can I tell you a story about that tear?
So of course. Are you gonna smash this to pieces?
Sorry, I am. So Tasha's dad actually has a condition where his eyes water all the time. And we actually laughed about it at the hotel that he was like, my eye was watering. They're going to make it like I was crying. And all of us were sitting on the couch were laughing. And then they did. So we were all laughing so hard about it. So I'm really sorry. But yeah.
Lucy, are you okay? But what could not be faked is the obvious love that Tasha's dad has for her and vice versa.
Yeah.
Tasha's dad adores Tash.
And that she saw her dad and his partner as couple goals. Like that was very, very cute.
Look, but my heart might be lying in smithereens on the floor right now after this conversation. So don't worry about that. That's fine.
But let's push on.
I think he thought that he was like the standout star of the show with that, just the way they got that one, like, I guess eye moisture drop just running down his cheek. So
it's not even a tear. It's just
he definitely was for Lucy, the breakout star of that show.
He also like I love my dad too. So it was like, oh, you know, ooh, I've never walked down an aisle, but I can imagine he might do something similar, but maybe with real tears. I don't know.
He's the nicest guy though. Like I've gone on so many family holidays with them and he's just so caring and lovely and supportive of Tash. He's the nicest guy. Aww. But he was definitely laughing and not crying.
Oh, that's rad. Okay. I actually love that kind of even more.
So cast your mind back, Lucy, to how what were the things about the episode that we were like really touched by?
To me, it felt like 2020. It was badass women in amazing outfits getting married and them changing the logo with the two brides. And I was high on contact endorphins.
Post plebiscite high, you know.
Yeah. So how was it? How did you feel on the day?
Look, as a queer woman, I was so excited that it was going to be, you know, I guess a fight against heteronormativity. I was so excited for that opportunity to be involved in that. I think there was a lot of pressure from everyone to go along with it and really romanticize it and I guess really accept their coupling and be very excited about it. But unfortunately, I have to put my friendship first. Like, I it didn't matter. I mean, as much as it was so exciting to be part of something that was different, I also had to say, yes, they're both girls. It's because they're both women doesn't mean they're going to get along and be compatible. It's the same as a straight relationship. There are people that are absolutely wrong for each other and there are people that are right for each other. And I have to support my friend and her emotional health over this groundbreaking TV of being two women, which is amazing. And I hope they get it right in the future.
Yeah. And I mean, frankly, they're probably not going to get it right in the future, are they? But
well, you have three straight people putting two lesbians together. They're not going to understand. I think the experts went, you both have a cat, you're both a lesbian, couldn't get any of a better match than that. Perfect. Kick the box.
Like, yeah, you both have dark hair. Mm-hmm. You dark hair and, you know, you're fit looking or, you know, like, so clearly, yeah.
Like, even mathematically, it seems as though if they had randomly picked people, there would be a higher success rate than what they've got.
In hindsight, we saw all of that, that they were seemed completely incompatible in just every single way, including wanting to do different things like play volleyball on the beach versus do makeup and yoga, which I know which one of those I'd choose. I'll be there with Tash every time. At the wedding, right at the beginning, when Tash was about to walk down the aisle, you saw Amanda, and on the show it shows you saying something like, oh, I'm so glad for Tash. And I think it was that at first glance, Amanda seemed nice, normal, attractive. So at what point in the wedding did you think, wait a minute?
My reaction of this is good was mainly because Tash and I and Rachel had a lot of anxiety that they were going to try to match Tash with a really femme girl who Tash would not be attracted to at all. So I think seeing a girl there in pants, we were like, oh, she's a bit of a tomboy. This is going to go so well for Tash. That's actually at least, I know that they're three straight people. Maybe they're not going to understand the tomboy femme kind of, I guess, intricacies of a gay relationship. Not that that's every gay relationship, but that is for Tash. We were like, yes, it's got a good chance of starting.
So your first impressions were positive?
Yeah, I was like, that's fine.
And you were pretty open to it going well by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I was. I was like, this is good, because this is the thing as well. I wasn't going to play to the cameras and pretend I liked someone when I didn't, because this was a serious thing for Tash. This, for me, it was really important that we're honest with our friend. Like, I know that no one is going to believe me, but Tash actually did go in looking for love and a relationship.
I believe it.
I believe it. I think Tash seems credible, yeah.
And Rachel and I are both engaged. So we're both in long-term relationships. So Tash really wanted to have that. Like, you know, she really wanted to have that opportunity to be part of those conversations. And I guess, to feel like, you know, she's 30, she wants to settle down. That's what she's looking for. She's looking for an equal life partner. So we were all good. We were excited. We were like, yes, she's intense. She's like, seems like she looks pretty. Like, she looks fine. Like, I can see that they might have chemistry. And she, like, looked like she worked out. And Tash is a yoga teacher and she loves, and she's studying to be a PT. So she's really into fitness. So I was like, this might work really well. And then in her wedding vows, which we listened to five times. They shot it five times. In the wedding vows, she kept repeating, like, all the mistakes she's made and all the things she's done wrong in her life. So my radar was like, what do you mean? And also, I know they really showed that in episode, but also she didn't really have much to say about Tash as an individual in terms of Tash's vows were very about how Tash should be trying to make her comfortable and really showed a lot of empathy and a lot of, like, I guess, thankfulness that Amanda was putting herself in that position. But Amanda's vows were more like, yep, here I am, I've made mistakes, I want to be a gay icon, let's do this for Australian lesbians. And I was like, hold on, what? Who is this person?
Amanda's vows were about Amanda.
Yeah, they were about Amanda, yeah. So
and I think, symbolism rather than an actual relationship.
So your alarm bells went off then?
Straight away. And I had to listen to it five times. So I could listen to that pretty – I was listening right down to, like, the very intricacies of how she was saying words because I had nothing else to do. So, yeah, my alarm bells went off.
Far out.
And then, okay, so obviously between then and when the part that was filmed where you and Rachel tried to talk to her about it, that then becomes the kind of iconic, the bridesmaids are trying to ruin the wedding edit. Between the vows and then, did any other stuff happen that was kind of like raising your hackles a little bit?
So a couple of things happened. I think what was taken out of context is that it sounds like Rachel and I were like, how dare you not talk to us? We are the most important people. But our issue was, why do you want to talk to us if the cameras are on us? Why are you not having a conversation with us that's actually, you know, we are family, like we're Tasha's family. Like we are the people that know her the best. If you guys go well, you'll be coming to our like potlucks and having dinner with us and we'll drink wine together. Like we generally want to know who you are. But she wasn't engaging with us unless the cameras were on us. So that was a bit of our issue. Also, and obviously I'm not trying to bash Amanda here in terms of I'm sure that she was nervous and I'm sure that she was out of her depth. No one's, I guess, ideal situation. But I remember a couple of things that happened that really made me feel really on edge. For example, she dropped something on the floor and she just turned to Tash and looked at her with this really cold look and just said, can you just get that? And she just met Tash and she's already ordering her around. I had to breathe and Rachel was like, who is this person? I'm at this wedding and I'm trying to go there and have positivity and encourage my friend to do something out of her comfort zone that might yield fantastic results. And then I'm spending time with this person and they're telling me things like my queer existence and my story of coming out and my struggles as a queer woman, they're not valid because I'm not ethnic. Or they tell me that she doesn't believe that any of her girlfriends should drink because it makes them trashy and that she wouldn't let Tash have a drink. So she's telling me these really toxic traits. I'm getting red flags and then I'm reacting on camera and then Australia's hating me for it, for protecting my friend. It puts you in a really surprising space where you just don't understand what is happening. So this is the type of stuff that they didn't show. It was edited in terms of, I would not say my reactions were edited. I would say why I was reacting was edited. So little things like that. We're just not.
So it looked disproportionate or...
Yeah.
We didn't make much noise, but we can see each other on video link right now. And when you said about dropping it on the floor and expecting Tasha, we both did kind of these like scream emoji faces.
Yeah, because I would be exactly the same as you. I would see that and be like, excuse me? That's my fucking friend.
If your friend brought someone over and did that, you know, people would react. Well, they should react just as strongly if that's their friend. Like, I'm a feminist. Like, what is this, like, inner misogyny that is happening here? She doesn't have to, you don't know her.
And it also sounds like if it was a dude, bride and a groom, it sort of reminds me, I haven't watched any other season except for this season, but because Lizzie has come back, I've been getting like those little flashbacks to her like horror husband, Sam. It seems like that's exactly the stuff that they would include, you know what I mean? If they were kind of trying to make it, you know, if they decided at the wedding that, okay, the direction this is going to go, like the storyline that we're going to go with is that he's a fuckwit and she's going to get hurt. And so therefore they would have shown a guy going like, absolutely, okay, skipper. They kind of had obviously decided that the story was going to be fairy tale wedding of two lesbians and then Tash kind of got the villain edit.
She did, which was really, it was really strange to see that. I also, like, I will say it wasn't just me and Rachel that didn't like Amanda. There were tables of us sitting around talking how much we didn't like her. This was all on camera. So when it was just me and Rachel that were showing, we were actually really surprised. Like, I remember there was a table of about 12 people just sitting there, including her mum and dad, talking about how much we didn't like the way she was treating Tash, the way she was speaking to Tash, the way she was speaking to all of us, but we were the only crew that were ever shown.
They threw you under the bus.
I don't know why I'm still surprised.
I was surprised. Yeah. And there was so much time between filming to when we saw it, so that because I watched it with the knowledge of how the wedding had been, it still surprised me, the edit, because I was like, well, where's all the stuff that happens? It made us angry. Yeah. It just looks weird.
Mm.
And obviously, even though it was set up against Tash and in favor, like even though the edit was favorable to Amanda, nothing could prevent Amanda from like eventually revealing her true personality to the people
just
of Australia.
Rolling that steamroller right over the top of that image, just no one could stop that from going on.
12 hours later.
Oh God, I know.
Did everyone get really pissed?
So, weirdly, they do the vows and they do the wedding part and then they separate you in the sun for like 2 hours and everyone gets one glass of champagne and then everyone can come back to the reception and they give you unlimited alcohol. So they want you to get really drunk really fast so you interact.
Ooh.
And get messy.
And get messy.
We imagine and speculate what's going on behind the scenes, but to have this like confirmation of it, it really makes me think like what else are we seeing that is like complete bullshit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I struggle to watch reality TV now, because I just think I just know how many hours it's been. And I also, I guess before, even though I knew that, we all know it, like in air quotations, we all know that it's been edited down. But I think now I have that emotional like stress for people when I watch this. And I'm like, oh, you probably didn't say anything like that. It probably was just totally edited. Or what else has happened to make you have that reaction? So I feel quite, empathetic when I'm watching it for people. So it might be quite triggering now.
So do you avoid, are you avoiding reality TV, at least dating shows at the moment?
Absolutely. A shame, because everyone keeps talking about that Love is Blind show, but I haven't watched it yet. And I don't know if I can, but I want to.
We haven't watched it either, mainly by dint of the fact that we spend 3/4 of our lives watching maths currently, which... I don't know quite why we decided to do that.
It's nearly over, thank God.
It's nearly over. The end is in sight.
Yeah, I will watch the reunion when Tash goes on again, which is,
yeah.
I will watch that to see her on there. But apart from that, I'm probably not going to watch it next season. Nah, I'm out.
Okay, so inside baseball, Tash is going to be back for the reunion.
One thing that I know both of us wanted to touch on, and you too, Ashley, in this chat, is we've talked a little bit about the wedding and the edits, but what happened when the show was aired for you, and how has it been since then?
Because I knew why we were reacting that way, I was like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Like, I was a bit shocked, but I didn't really think it was as bad as anything. I mean, because watching it back, which I have once and never again, we definitely say we don't like Amanda, but we don't really insult her in any way, or we don't make it,
no,
we're not
you
rude to her. We really try to, you know, just let them do their thing and be aware that both people are having anxiety and try to just stay calm. But Australia exploded at us. Like, we were like number 2 trending on Twitter of being like the worst, bitchiest bridesmaids ever. Like,
aww.
I got so many death threats. We both got called fat and ugly so much. Like, it was really bad. Like, I'm really lucky that I have a beautiful fiance who told me preemptively to get rid of social media for a week. So she was very, I guess, put her foot down and said, get rid of it, just don't look at it. But the first night I couldn't sleep. I had to take a Valium to go to work. Like, it was intense. We felt really shit. We felt really horrible. The bullying is next level. Yeah. The ironic thing is people were saying really horrific things about us and calling us bitches, but we were like, what you're saying is 1,000 times worse than anything we ever said. We just said we didn't like her for our friends.
Mm.
Yeah, that's just so, it's so nuts that can be the viciousness of the response to someone and didn't even say anything that bad and is just a human, like just a woman in the world on a screen, on a TV show, and that you could be pushed to the point of not being able to sleep and having death threats. Like,
it was horrible. It's really bad. And the fact that, you know, I've watched maths before, but I've never felt the need to seek someone out on social media and like message their inbox and tell them all the things that are wrong with them and how horrible they are. It especially upset me when everyone was like, you know, Tash needs better friends. And I was like, hold on, we are the best friends to Tash. We would do anything for her. We adore her. You just have only seen 5 seconds of a situation. But yeah, it was really next level. I think I saw some stuff on social media about people being really rude to, I think it was Connie's mum. I'm sure you guys know better than me. And that stuff is really hard, because I think if you're at least a personality on a TV show, you have, I guess, a whole season to redeem yourself. If you are a bridesmaid or a guest, you're on there for 10 minutes and people rip you apart. There's never going to be any swing back. People are never going to start liking you or get to know the real you. So that really sucks.
Yeah,
it's awful. I can't imagine it. Because I know, like, if I get a strongly worded email from someone about something, like a work thing, I feel sick.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine what it's like to actually receive that volume, that viciousness of bullying, which, and it's completely unacceptable.
Really not acceptable. Like, it definitely made me realize, you know, how much people think that it's okay if someone's in any kind of way on reality TV or on their televisions, that it makes them feel safe to bully people. And it's really not. There are people read these comments. Everyone on the show reads the comments, and it makes you feel like absolute shit.
Yeah. I actually have had some experience with this, because the work that I do and have done is always around women's rights and feminism. And it was especially intense when we were running Slut Walk. Mm-hmm. And so I've had times in my life where the work that I do means that I get a lot of mail and messages that are threatening, aggressive, you know, frightening. And they actually do really destabilize you. You know, we're slowly piecing together like studies and research and stuff on this and what the effect is of people spending so much time online, people becoming depersonalized and hiding behind anonymous profiles in order to be able to be more aggressive and more threatening to people. And we're kind of piecing it together, but too slowly for how it's happening. Obviously, there's like a few elements here. One is that it's like the fandoms online that spring up can be incredibly toxic. The second thing is probably that you're a woman in the public eye and women always cop it 10 times worse. Like, do you think that like Michael's groomsmen are getting like rape threats? You know, of course not. Yeah. You know, apart from anything else, it's like partly the responsibility of the show and of these social media platforms as well to take this stuff more seriously. I mean, like, we can sit in our podcast and say it's unacceptable and it's terrible and it's awful, but like when I've reported stuff like that to the police, they just kind of don't really care.
Yeah, it's just a really toxic space. And I will say that I'm not sure about, obviously I can't speak for other people that have been on the show and their experience, but even though Rachel and I got so much hate all over everywhere, the show didn't reach out to us and ask if we were doing okay. But yet, when we were filming, they were reaching out to us constantly. So they have our details. They could have just even sent us an email, asked, hey, you know, you've just had an experience. Here are some links for mental health. Here's a link for Headspace. Any kind of touching base, I think, would have been really, like, appreciated.
Another aspect to it as well, I think, Karen, in the work that you have done that has been met with this disgusting response, it's never acceptable in any form. But I suppose maybe when you're working in feminist space publicly, you might be thinking, well, I'm aware that this might happen. But for you, Ashley, I imagine maybe this wasn't like you going to work and talking about like a social rights issue. This was you going on a fantasy TV show and someone's threatening to kill me.
It's supposed to be fun.
Exactly.
That's the thing, is that you, just like Tash in her arc on the show, you and your friend were trying to participate in this confection, this fantasia, while also sticking to your values. And that's what you got for it. Like, look what Tash got for it, you know?
I know.
It's garbage.
I know. It's interesting. Tash said on Instagram the other day, she was saying how anyone that goes on the show and goes against the storyline by saying, I'm not attracted to this person and I don't want to lower my values and interact with them, I don't want to cheapen myself and by pretending to have feelings and I don't, is instantly villainized. So it's interesting. I feel like Rachel and I didn't go along with the narrative they were trying to push, which is the greatest lesbian wedding that Australia's ever seen. In reality, Tash was texting me at the wedding and afterwards being like, I need to get out of here. Like, this is not happening. But because we are the ones that are shown to be like not okay with it, then we're going against, I guess, the mainstream idea of this romance. So we're villainized.
It's messed up.
I actually saw that Insta story that Tash did where she was talking about, like, has anyone else noticed this trend? And I actually felt like, because I love Tash, but I actually felt like she was being very generous in a way, because yeah. I thought, no, the men who are saying, I don't find her attractive, therefore I don't want to sleep with her, are actually getting a very sympathetic and compassionate edit. And that's the thing that has, like, infuriated me, that, like, Steve and Johnny and the men who are like, you know what, I just don't find her attractive, and express it in ways that are, like, 10 times more obnoxious and hurtful than Tash ever did. Tash never said, you know, you're not attractive, I don't find you attractive, or, you know.
No way.
Like, she was, like, so caring and, compassionate in the way that she expressed it, and she was completely thrown under the bus. Whereas these men, for, like, literally weeks and months, can just keep, like, dragging these women out, and everyone's like, oh, poor Steve and Johnny, they just can't, you know, face having to sleep with these horrible, ugly hags. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of always felt to me like, and it was good that the cereal box charlatan eventually said, I call bullshit, you know, if you don't want to be with this person, you should get out. But then, as happened with Tash and has happened with others, then they try and get out, and they're the villain for not giving it a good go. You know what I mean? So they kind of can't win.
the whole time Tash operated with such grace and under fire in she wasn't cruel about at all about not wanting to be with Amanda. She also didn't lie to her about it. She was honest. She was honest, but she was also kind about it. Whereas in contrast, all of these men are sometimes being honest, but mostly creating false hope.
Exactly. I think that Tash told her as soon as she could, that she wasn't really feeling it on the honeymoon. And then people were instantly saying, you know, you were encouraging her because you were, you know, acting like you were trying at the wedding. But I was like, hold on, if she said at the wedding she didn't like her, then she'd be a dick like me. So what do you want? She's either like encouraging her the wrong way, or she's like me. She said she didn't like her straight up, and therefore I'm the worst person in Australian history on TV. So
yeah,
because it's when the guys are saying they're not attracted to the women or they're not feeling that attraction, it falls back on the woman to try to make herself more desirable. Like, what is, for example, what is Poppy doing? She talks about her kids too much. Like, are you joking?
Ding, ding, ding. So true. And I'm so angry about it.
Like, Michelle and Connie, we've watched them over weeks and months, like, kind of try and literally change themselves, like, change their personalities. Or, like, Vanessa, who tried to, like, they kind of, like, shrink, you know. And it's this
horrible
mirror being held up to the rest of, you know, hetero patriarchal society. That, like, how it operates is that women kind of, as exactly what you've just said, Ashley, you fucking mensch, you fucking powerful witch, that, like, when two people come together, when a man and woman come together, and it's like, he's like, I'm not feeling it, she's like, oh, well, I'm defective in some way. What can I do to fix it? How can I shrink myself, either literally or figuratively? And when it's the other way around, it's like men are like, well, you're a dumb bitch. I don't fucking want you anyway.
Yeah.
So much pressure. Like, she was bullied into writing Stay the first week. She just wanted to go. And everyone's saying, you have to change yourself. Like, why don't you make Amanda a vegan burger? Like, she doesn't want to make her a burger. She wants to leave because she's being pushed to have sex with her and being yelled at. She wants to leave, okay? Like, that's really all there is to it.
Eventually, Tash did get out and show a side. How's Tash now? Are things going all right?
Yeah, so hashtag free Tash. So I'm very glad that she got out. Tash is doing
well.
We
were about to go and, like, get her ourselves, like, before we realised that it had been filmed many months ago.
I was literally going to fly there the whole time, so don't worry about that. Which it would have just fueled the rumours that me, Tash and Rachel were in some kind of lesbian love affair, which we are not. So even though we saw a lot of that on social media, trust me, we never have been, never will be. But, yeah, she's doing good. She is just trying to juggle, I think, going back to work and a new relationship, and I guess she's trying to deal with how much she desperately misses me because I've moved into state. So, you know, a girl can only do so much.
She conducted herself so incredibly honourably. And I think that, you know, edits and production fuckery aside and toxic internet bullshit aside, I hope that she does feel really proud of sticking to her values and living them in the face of, like, all that pressure. Unlike a lot of other contestants, she really modelled self-respect and trusting herself. Like, she trusted her own feelings. She expressed them in, like, constructive ways, no matter how many times she was kind of manipulated and browbeaten, and she shouldn't have had to go through that. But she just, you know, as Lucy said, she just calmly and serenely held her ground. And I think if especially young people have watched that and saw it as an example of what they are entitled to do if they are not comfortable and not happy, then that would be an incredible gift that Tash gave to everyone. And it would hopefully mean that she didn't go on the show for nothing.
Yeah, I think she definitely walked away knowing that she has the strength to stand up for herself, even when being extremely pressured not to. I think Tash is a really genuine person. I think that she has really tried to show a lot about the male gaze and consent and how women can empower themselves by saying no in situations where they feel really uncomfortable. She's a feminist and she really believes, like, all that, and she really wants to conduct herself in a way that she thinks, I guess, is going to be I guess, really proud for her to look back and watch. So I'm really happy with how she was, I guess, standing up for herself on the show. As someone that knows her, watching her, I never thought that she wasn't my friend. There was not one moment where I thought, what is she doing? That's not her. And I'll pull her up on it. Like today she wrote he in a message instead of ha ha. And I was like, who are you? This isn't like you. So I know she tried to slide it past me. But there was a moment where she took other Tash into the bathroom and she was comforting her. And it was just such a shock for me because I've heard that tone of voice from her and I've been in that position with her so many times where she's, you know, I guess comforting me in whatever I'm going through. And she was just so genuine and she's just Tash. So, yeah, I was really proud of her on the show.
Oh, we love her too. She is just Tash.
We stand.
We do. Thank you so much. And Ashley, you will always be the greatest bitch of Eastwick.
No shade to Rachel. But
no
now,
shade to Rachel.
Now you're an honorary beloved. And
Oh, yes.
We thank you so much for coming and talking about your beautiful mate with us and swimming around in the bin juice of maths on the air. We're very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, cheers, girls. Thanks for a great chat.
I now pronounce this podcast finished.